gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Now, the JoJo of the week.
All the haters and losers, of which there are many, were saying Jordan's going to be bad again this year. I just want everybody to know that the Ape Train has officially left the station this year. We're doing things this year.
Way to go, loser.
Oh. What does that even mean?
I think you did.
I don't have a lot to say about that.
Got him.
The hustling. Anything is better than that.
Suck me arse, dilly dilly mofos.
Oh, to be the cellar arse is something I do dread. Oh, to be the cellar arse when winter rears its ugly head. Now your destiny, you can only barely choose. Your money, you will surely lose. Oh, the cellar arse, am I?
You got Plaxicode.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man.
Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The pod is back and is better than ever.
She's got a real nice tight spiral.
Buckle up because it's going to get pretty juicy.
This is the Semi-Pro Ducks Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Welcome to Season 3 of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. I am, as our big voice guy said, your commissioner. I am Rick. We have an incredible season coming up. We have just finished our draft. We had our big live draft weekend in Truckee, California. 17 rounds. Absolutely grueling and exhausting. And essentially what this episode is going to be is everyone is going to talk about their team, how their draft went, how they think other people's draft went, discussing some rule changes and things like that. Really just kind of, it's an introduction to the members of the league, the guys you're going to hear week after week on the podcast, and a chance to be welcomed into the league without having to actually join the league. Again, the basics of the league, for those of you listening who aren't in the league, 12-man league, half-point PPR, standard scoring, three wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex, along with your standard quarterback, tight end, defense, and kickers. So enough from me, time to hear from the members of the league, hear how they think their draft went, how they think other members of the draft went, and maybe what's more important, is it winning the league, or is it just not coming in 12th place? So enough for me for now. Please enjoy hearing from everyone in the league, how their draft went. Cannot wait for football season to start so we can really get this podcast rolling. It's all to come this year on the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Keep listening in, and enjoy.
Well, that's it for the introductions. And now, the story.
We're now here with Melvin Gordon. That's Andrew's team, a survivor of the constipation bracket last year. We're going to start off with your first question. How was your second live draft experience?
It was great. I always have fun doing it. I was pretty hungover, so I was exhausted. I was exhausted. And I'm glad I had a computer with me this time because I was able to just keep track of everything a little easier. And I enjoyed being with the boys, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, good time.
More or less prepared than the previous draft?
Way more prepared. Yeah, I spent the last couple weeks, because I had nothing to do, doing tons of mock drafts, and I feel really good about the guys that I got. A lot of guys on my team were specific targets for my mock draft, so I'm pretty happy that I was able to dial in, especially like the middle rounds, like that 4 to 8, 10 range.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys, I specifically plan on having, like, Alan Hearns and Corey Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him. And obviously, my man, Phillip.
Yeah, being at the 12 on the turn, you definitely have to know exactly who you're going to go for in the prep.
Yeah, in my prep, I don't know why I just expected him to fall, but I, you know, in my mind, just expected Gordon, Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gordon dropped. And I kind of, over the last couple of days, figured maybe I'll probably end up needing to choose between Fournette and Cook. So I was pretty happy that the decision was made for me. I just went with Cook. And then I think I was so set on Keenan that I was okay passing on Beckham. My big issue this year is going to be trying to focus and pay attention. So...
Being
no.
a doctor and all.
Right. No, just like it's not, you know, as easy, or it won't be as easy as it was the last couple of years. So I chose Keenan over Odell Beckham just for the continuity of like watching the I know I'll be watching the Chargers, and it'll be someone that I can root for. And having them on my team, it'll just keep me a little more engaged. And it wasn't a hard decision. But, you know, kind of sucks letting Beckham slide.
Yeah, a little bit. So looking at the draft board, kind of looking over the teams a little bit, who do you think is going to surprise the league the most, either being overachieving expectations or underachieving?
You know, I don't want to give the negative answer, but I think the one team that sticks out to me is
say Luke.
Who's yeah? Is it Drew Fabrice?
Yeah,
yeah. That's the team.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the team that I don't think is going to live up to the expectation. I don't see a lot of the like more risky players performing as well as you might expect them to. I don't know. I'm not sold on Penny or even Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really banking on that New England offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's... I don't know. It might work for him. He's a pretty good fantasy player, but I think just looking at the board right now, that's the team that's going to surprise us the most, is not performing as well as we'd expect, specifically Luke to perform, not just the team.
All right. And you've won the league before. What would winning the league again mean to you?
It'd be really great. Just being able to win the league this year, going into school, knowing that I can, you know, at least balance that and still have fantasy be a priority and maintaining the relationships with you guys,
mm-hmm.
and maintaining that continuity with the league. So I think at least being in the contention to win would be a huge factor in me continuing to really stay focused.
Chargers year?
Oh, absolutely. As is every year, but this year is...
This is the one? This is the ones
good,
before
this we're is all a good, This is a good year.
Right. Yeah.
It's all very bewildering.
We are here with Brandon, our resident mountain man and hiker adventurer. His team name this year is Juju Smith Juicer. We'll kick things off. You had the number 9 pick. You went in the first round with Melvin Gordon. How prepared were you overall for this draft?
I was much more prepared than last year, but I had a lot of issues printing out a cheat sheet. So, like, our printers were down at work on Tuesday, and then the printer at my parents' place was down, and I then tried to print it at the... Yeah, so anyways, didn't get to print my stuff out until we were in Southlake, which I paid $22 at the business center of the Harrah's or Harvey's casino that we were staying at. So I sure hope that pays off. So outside of that, I was pretty prepared, though. I, you know, did some mock drafts. So read some things, listened to a podcast or two.
Nice. This podcast?
I listened to your podcast.
Nice, good. Yeah, talking about last year's league.
I did listen to the draft, the release show again, which was actually pretty funny.
Nice.
And you guys actually did a pretty good job predicting the thing, by the way.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and see actually how well he did. I know.
We were pretty close.
It was confusing because you were both making your own mock draft, though. So, like,
right.
Your mocks became different, but outside of that.
I know I got one right in that I got Julio Jones, which, yeah, of course, I got Julio Jones.
Yeah. I was more prepared than last year, which is always a win. I didn't realize last year how scary a live draft is.
Yes.
There's so much more you have to, like, just be aware of.
It's pretty freaky. So, you briefly talked about this, but a lot of picks happen in this draft. 17 rounds with 12 teams. I can't do that math on the fly. That's a lot of picks. So you have 17 picks. Is there a guy that you're like, I'm going to regret that probably?
Yeah, I probably have a few, but definitely Dez Bryant, since he's not on a team. There's definitely could have been some other valuable players at that spot. I could have gotten a few receivers who are actually going to play this year. For sure, for sure. Or could have gotten a better quarterback since I ended up waiting until Tyrod. So Dez is probably the answer there, but, you know, if he plays, he could be good. So I think outside of that, I'm not big on Kelvin Benjamin. He's slow and bad and has a slow, bad quarterback, which is a pretty not deadly combination. So I'd say those are probably the two.
All right. You haven't won the league yet. We're in our 5th edition of the league as it is now.
It's only my 3rd year. So.
That is true. But what would winning the league mean to you? Going 1-4.
Going 1-4. It'd be pretty, pretty cool. To say the least. I don't know. I think as sort of like A, the Broncos have been bad recently, and B, the NFL is kind of, you know, shitty recently. I think this is definitely, like, the biggest reason I'm still paying attention to football, so it'd be really cool to, like, have all that attention validated with, you know, success. And the goal of always not being last place is...
That is true.
Honestly, very palpable.
Yeah, so that is true.
I think I'm more motivated to not be last than I am to be first.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, and good luck this year.
Hey, thanks.
They take their football seriously, don't they?
We are now with Duncan. His team name this year is Jarvis Dirty Landry. Last year, he was our constipation bracket loser, which meant the league punishment was having to do a stand-up comedy set at an open mic night, which you survived at the Classic Q, which was the diviest of dive bars. Let's start with that. Great set. It was very funny. It was definitely a lot better than I think we all expected. How
now? I don't know how to take that.
now that it's over, how nervous were you going into that and just the process of waiting from December until now for, you know, coming up with a stand-up comedy set?
It kind of went in waves, because in December I was like, I got 8 months to do a set, and of course I didn't touch it. And then over, like, I would think of, like, funny things or something would happen and I'd write it down and be like, oh, I'll talk about this. And when I revisited it, it was all either outdated or just stupid. So I wasn't that nervous because work's been so crazy the past couple weeks that I didn't have time to think about it. I was just working around the clock. And then, so we flew down Wednesday. So Monday, I kind of had the oh shit moment and was staying up really late, just like, oh, and watching or listening to stand-up specials while I was at work, which is really bad because trying to, like, multitask wasn't great. And then also, like, busting up laughing like an idiot at my desk when something really funny happened. But I was relatively prepared. I got a narrative together that I thought was funny. I had to pivot a little bit live. But I wasn't nervous until about, I guess, 20 minutes before I had to go on. I was like, oh, well, you know, I've stood up in front of people before. I think I know what to expect. I know what I want to say. And then when they started setting up, that guy started bringing drums and all these things. And I was kind of
very much a band centric open mic night. And you're kicking it off with stand up comedy.
Yeah. Then I started to get nervous and a little bit anxious. So I think I rambled.
No, it's good. See, the 11th pick in the draft, you went Leonard Fournette in the first round. He was the guy last year that helped me get to a first place final. You're dealing with the stand-up comedy, preparing for the draft. How prepared overall were you for this draft?
I think I was as prepared as I could have been. It was a similar kind of situation. A lot of the times I was deciding, do I prep my stand-up or do I prep for the draft? And I just kind of had a systematic approach, that being that I didn't think I was going to have much time. I basically just went through kind of Fantasy Pros and then laid out I in their tiers, and then I started color coordinating everything as to I took their list and then customized it to the way that my mostly uneducated opinion deemed right, and then reacted from there. So I think I was as good as I could have been, but probably not. I didn't do any mock drafts. Actually, to this day, have never done a mock draft.
Wow, so that's very impressive. Also explains a lot about last year's draft.
Yeah, last year's draft was... I'm gonna blame Connor for that, because I was really hungover. But that's really not a great excuse, because my draft prep wasn't good as is.
So watching from the 11th pick, you obviously you see a lot of picks come through before you get to your turn, and then a very quick turnaround. Who do you think so far got the steal of the draft or made the best decision with their pick?
Oh, the steal of the draft?
Steal, best pick, just somebody that, like, that guy in that spot made a lot of sense. That's a really good pick.
The one that irked me the most, because I really wanted Will Fuller, and that came literally two picks before me. Who's Juju Smith-Schuster?
That's Brandon.
Brandon, yeah. So for me, that came across as a steal because I wanted him so bad, and I really thought he was going to continue falling. Does that make sense? But he didn't, obviously. Best overall pick, I think Mike with Todd Gurley, just how he's performed last year. I think that the Rams are going to be a tough team to beat this year, and they're just kind of stacking up. So
yeah,
I think overall, I mean, it's that's kind of a cop out, because it's number one pick, so you better have a damn good pick. But yeah, And then as far as people who, I gotta take a look here. I think we'll see about Dez Bryant. He fell real far. I actually thought he was gonna fall farther, but that's kind of by Brandon also. I'm like, that's kind of smart. Depending we'll see if he gets signed, but his personality may hinder that.
You've gone from first winning the league before last year, last losing everything. What would it mean winning the league after literally going again from worst to first?
Oh man, that'd be dope. I guess for me, it would be nice to just know that I don't need to overthink everything, because this year I think, and 2 years ago, I didn't really overthink. I had my strategy, stuck to it, went with the data. Last year, I was like, oh, I have this gut feeling. Like, I'm holding Jordan Howard, and I take Marshawn Lynch. And then the rest of the season, I was trying to be clever and do the waiver wire. And this year, I'm like, you know what? I'll let the data and the experts do the thinking and stick to their guns. I mean, it'd mean a lot. It'd be really cool. It's always fun. Bragging rights are awesome.
Right.
So, and just proving that I can actually do this instead of it was a fluke 2 years ago.
Right.
So that'd be mean a lot.
Well, best of luck to not finishing last. And
that's the goal. Middle of the road, here we come.
Yeah. Harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection.
Now on is our reigning league champion. It's Fronik. His team name this year is Jerry Rice Cube Trace. Very creative team name. You were a champion last year. Obviously, that means you know the most about fantasy football, because that's how fantasy football works. What is your early call for Brock Rock of the Year for a pick you think this guy's really going to go off, or somebody that picked way too high and is definitely going to fall right on their face, a la Brock Osweiler?
Tough call, to be honest, but I'm a huge Josh Gordon fan, and I like him a lot, but taking him that early, I'm not so sure, just because we haven't gotten any confirmation if he's actually going to be there week one. I know he's dealing with some personal stuff. It's tough to say he's a Brock of the Year, but I would have taken him a round later or two.
Is there anybody on your team? You had the number two overall pick, so you got Le'Veon Bell, and then you followed it up with Jordan Howard. Do you think those guys are obviously taking them that high? You think they're more Rock than Brock potential?
Yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, it was obvious I had to either take one or the other between Gurley and Bell. So that was a for sure. I actually preferred Bell just because he's been more proven over the last like 4 years, as opposed to Gurley, who was last year's number one running back. Howard, I'm really high on. I was struggling if I should take him in the second round or the third round, but again, I'm at that turn, so it didn't really matter too much. But I'm really high on the Bears offense this year, and think he could and should be involved in the passing game here and there. He's been working on catching passes and stuff like that, so I'm really high on him, and I'm always sick of not having a solid / elite running back too, which is really tough to have in fantasy. So really stoked about that, but again, you gotta have some give and take. So my wide receivers, I felt like didn't do too well because of that.
Win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
So one of the rule changes we've talked about a little bit is the change to kicker scoring, where field goals are now no longer on distance, but rather everything's just 3 points, just like in the real game. You actually ended up not taking a kicker. One of, I think, maybe two other teams that ended up not taking a kicker just straight up. So was this rule change a part of that strategy, or were you just trying to add as many guys as you could, seeing that we're drafting, you know, even a week before the start of preseason?
I would go with the latter answer. Honestly, even if we had kept the kicker rule change, I would have still done this, just because I started to think about it last year, just thinking how much kickers can vary. I mean, unless you get like a Tucker or a Zerline or a Gostkowski, I mean, you're really just, it's really a crapshoot. So honestly, I just wanted to get a player, see how they develop through the preseason, and then, you know, if, you know, they don't do well or whatever. I selected Ryan Grant, who's going to be possibly, who could be that wide receiver two for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And that Colts offense is going to be helmed by defensive, you know, by the defending champs offensive coordinator in Frank Reich for the Colts. So we'll see. I think he could be really effective, but I don't know. I've got to pick up a kicker sometime in the next month. So
right,
yeah, but no, the rule change did not alter my decision. No.
Wow, that's quite the noise. So you won the league last year, reigning champion. Yeah. Getting there on the back of one of the better trades of the year. You won GM of the year, trade of the year, team of the year, championship. Won it all. What would winning again mean to you?
Just to prove to people that I'm a force to be reckoned with. I mean, I don't want people to think of me as winning because I made that trade.
Right.
I felt like it was actually in hindsight, yes, it won me the championship because I had Kareem Hunt who went off those few weeks that I was in the championship, picture. But again, I don't know. I felt like at the time I was really struggling to make that trade just because Mike Evans was struggling and so was Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Just to prove to people that, you know, I'm going to draft well, I'm going to add continually throughout the season, and you know, I'm going to try and be the best that I can be. So winning again would be really nice, just to, you know, assert my dominance. It'd feel really good to win again, just to make it feel as if it's not like a outlier, like it felt like when Duncan won
right
2 years ago.
Since you won, and I don't want to see anybody repeat as champion, least of luck to you in the upcoming season then.
Best of luck, actually, but thank you.
Let's play some football.
With us now is Jared. He won the constipation bracket, missed out on the playoffs, but gets back in. His team is Keenan Allen Ranch. First question, what do you think is more important for your team to overcome flaws in your draft process? Is it working the waiver wire or wheeling and dealing and working the trade market?
Definitely waiver wire. I'm definitely known to not make trades during the season. I did one last year and actually turned out fine.
First ever trade.
Yeah, exactly. I'm more of a waiver wire. I mean, the reason why I pulled off that trade was I utilized a guy I picked up on the waiver wire. So waiver wire first, then trade. Because if you're willing to trade, if you already have the players that would be good components to trade without working the waiver wire, you probably already have a decent team. And if you already have a shitty team and you're trying to make trades and you don't pick anyone else up to supplement the trade, you're not going to have very good trades, in my opinion.
Right. Okay, that's fair. So you had the fourth pick in the draft. The first round, you got Zeke Elliott. Is there a guy that you think that you're already thinking, I regret that pick, I should have gone with somebody else in that spot?
My only regret so far, first, I'm a little upset that Adam Thielen went the pick before I went there in the third round. I was really looking, targeting him, trying to get him. Jordan picked him up the pick before me, so then I ended up with T.Y. Hilton. We'll see how luck is this year. But the main one that I'm looking at that I don't really know that there was something else I probably could have done is Ty Montgomery down in the, what round is that, 13th round. There was still a couple of different ways I could have gone there, even gone a little bit earlier and gotten the best defense off the board. Ty Montgomery there, it seems like it's a crowded backfield, and I don't really know what position Ty Montgomery plays anymore, to be honest, whether it's wide receiver or running back. There's just a lot of options there in Green Bay. I would rather have my hand in that offense in some way, but I just don't know if Ty Montgomery is going to do anything, to be honest.
You're one of the trio of San Diego, LA Charger, Clipper fans in the group. As well as some of your other teams you root for, generally don't win. So losing is kind of a part of your culture. But what would winning the league mean to you?
It would just validate all the other times. I mean, last season was kind of a fluke, but I think every other season before that, I've put up a decent effort. It would be nice just to win one, just to kind of solidify that I do know what I'm doing. But, well, I don't know, that would probably mean the most, just the respect that comes along with it. But I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Eventually something will happen, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I should try to do something else because
what you're doing
hasn't worked yet.
So. Or you're due, one of the two.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Is it the Chargers year?
Hell no. Absolutely not. Every year it's all Kool-Aid from the media and, oh, they're so good on paper. We've all seen this shit so many times. It's not, no. We already have the two injuries to Verrett and Henry. It's the same shit every year. They'll win 9 or 10 games but miss the playoff by a game. That's what's going to happen.
Hot! All right, we are here with Jordan. His team this year is Fan Tarkenton, last year's semifinalist. We just finished our draft up. So first question, how prepared were you for this year's draft?
Hi, Rick. Yeah, this year I was pretty prepared. Spent a lot of time at work doing mock drafts on the clock. Luckily, my boss, I don't think, listens to our podcast. So I don't think it's anything wrong with me saying that. I don't know why I haven't told my boss about the podcast. That's weird. But I was pretty prepared, but it's hard because I think everybody in the league is even better. Like every year, everybody keeps getting better. So I for the draft, I kind of expected better players to fall to me like in years past, where it's like last year I got AJ Green in the second round when he was supposed to be a first rounder. So I kind of was expecting something like that to happen for me, but it really didn't. I was prepared. It was like harder than I expected, honestly.
What team, looking at the draft board, do you think is going to surprise most, either being really good or really bad? You can go good or bad on this one, depending on.
We'll go good.
Nice.
I'm in a big positivity kind of mood. Yeah, the sun's shining, the tank is clean, and I'm talking about teams that are gonna, overachieve expectations. What's weird is the team that I actually think is gonna. Because I mean, we have the normal, like the usual suspects, like Jared drafted really well, Luke drafted really well. You know, I'm obviously gonna win the league, and so it's like that kind of stuff is fine. We all know that, but honestly, I think Duncan, after his last place finish, his team is looking pretty strong. It's gonna require a lot of health because basically, I don't think he's very deep. Like, I don't think he's that good of a drafter. I don't like his late round picks too much. Actually, they're fine, but like his core of like Leonard Fournette and Alex Collins, plus his receivers of Beckham, Jeffrey, and Sammy Watkins. If those guys stay healthy, that's a really, really, really good core to me. And health with Deshaun Watson, too. So, I mean, that's a really, I think, a strong team. I think he'll be a playoff contender.
You say every year you're going to win the league, and yet you have not. So what would winning the league mean to you?
If I win the league, it would be 2019, I guess, technically.
Well,
2018.
2018.
No, 18, because the regular season ends. 28. Yeah. The 2018 Fantasy Football League.
We're good at math.
If I win the 2018 Fantasy Football Semi-Pro Ducks Championship. It would be a classic American redemption story. I was really close last year. And I think that's what the American dream is all about, is like making it back after, awful heartbreak and going on to do, achieve great things.
And then finishing second.
No, that was last year. That was the heartbreak part.
Yeah.
Now, so this year I'm looking to write my storybook the way it was intended to be written.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Just a minute, partner. You can't talk to me like that. Them's fighting words.
We're now with Luke, resident fantasy expert. Drew Fabreeze is his team name this year. Very strong team name. Really glad you rolled the dice and got this question. So, overcoming the flaws in your team, what do you find is more important? Is it working the waiver wire or doing what you do, which is just send trades until people, you literally break their will and they give in and then give you what you want?
It's definitely a little bit of both in general. There's always a few waiver wire guys who can win you a league. I feel like I haven't had any of those in the last few years, so it's been a lot of wheeling and dealing. And then specifically for my team right now, I have a clear weakness at tight end, so I might have to make a trade or just pray some tight end gets hot and pick him off the waiver wire.
So breaking news, Luke is against his Greg Kittle pick, who is a Niner and an Iowa Hawkeye. So breaking news, Luke is anti-Iowa Hawkeye now. That's basically
George Kittle on the block, Hawkeye's on the block.
That's basically what that means. So a lot of picks, 12 teams, 17 rounds. Plenty of guys up there. Again, I can't do that math off the top of my head, but is there a guy on your team or somebody else's team that was picked way too early that you think could be a Brock or Rock of the Year candidate?
Yeah, I feel like my first five picks are all fairly high upside, but also high variance players. I have two rookie running backs, Mixon, who was not all that good last year, and then Juju, who also just has 1 year under his belt. I'm obviously very high on Barkley, picking a rookie, 8th overall, but I think they took him with the 2nd pick overall, so they're going to use him quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then on other teams, I was kind of hoping I was near the front of the draft so I could get McKinnon in the second round. A little bit biased, but you just see how they use Freeman in Atlanta. Now they have McKinnon in San Francisco. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, I think.
All right. You've won the league once before. You're constantly... Oh, twice before. Pardon me. Wow, I've lost track. That's unbelievable. You're always in the playoffs. You're always in it. Last year, you were in the semifinals, trying to, you know, get back there again. What would winning the league mean to you?
It would be quite nice. It's been 3 years now since I've won. I usually feel more confident after the draft, but I think people in this league have gotten a lot better at drafting. So it's a lot of even teams. It'd be pretty nice to win.
Well, good luck. And I guess since you've won twice now, not once, actually not good luck to you through the rest of the season. We're now joined with Michael Schmidt, Esquire, future lawyer. Please use him for any law questions that you have. We use him on the pod as our lawyer all the time. He is Team Grimy Bath Matt Ryan. Appreciate the Falcons' love there. Mm-hmm. He was our number one overall pick. He went with Todd Gurley. And we begin, just how prepared were you for this live draft, working through law school and being a lawyer full-time? How prepared were you for this draft?
Well, I was pretty prepared this year. I did a lot of mock drafts at lunch during work, and I did, you know, a good few here and there after work, especially in these past few weeks leading up to the draft. And I brought a bunch of resources with me, which I did last year. So I think I had a lot to pull from, and I was pretty prepared. But I will say it didn't go how I thought it was going to.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So going off of that, you know, not feeling prepared and maybe some things didn't really go your way, is there a guy on your team that you're not super excited about looking back on it and maybe how it went? I mean, being at the other end of the turn with the mm-hmm. one pick, you got a lot of mm-hmm. picks, a lot of time in between picks and trying to find guys that fell and picking guys that probably won't be there the next time you go around. How do you think that went?
Well, it's not too big of a deal, but I'm not too thrilled about Jack Doyle. I really wanted Jordan Reed, and I remember when that happened, I said, to under my breath, when you were there for that. I don't know, I was really married to Jordan Reed in the draft. I don't know why, but I was just kind of waiting for him, and then he got sniped right before I was about to take him. So Jack Doyle will be a fine tight end, though, so it'll all be fine.
You're the third Clipper fan, L.A. Charger, San Diego Clipper
no
fan.
Longer.
No longer a fan. No. Well, I guess you have been used to losing and watching your Charger mm-hmm. Clippers lose, but what would winning the league mean to you as a Sir Esquire Schmidt?
It would probably mean that I won the most games out of anyone. That's what it would mean.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, Rick.
And if you put Jamal Williams in the end zone, you will score a touchdown.
We are now here with a very familiar voice on the pod. It is Tim. His team name this year is I Left the Stove on Diggs. First thing, I need to have that team name explained to me because I do not get it.
Well, Stephon Diggs, Stovon Diggs kind of sounds somewhat similar, and
okay.
I accidentally left the stove on.
So left the stove on.
It's a household object.
Left the Stephon. Okay, all right, I got it.
It's kind of a reach, but...
No, makes much more sense. Yeah, now that I think about it and, you know, use my brain, that makes a lot more sense. So first things up, what is you think the key to fantasy football success? Is it in the draft? Is it in the waiver wire? Is it the prep for the draft? Is it post-draft? What is the key to fantasy success in your mind?
Well, first you got to make the playoffs. You got to pay attention every single week to, you know, who needs to be picked up. There's always at least a couple guys who completely change your team. I think it's usually in the first 3 or 4 weeks. You got to really pay attention to those waivers because then all the kind of surprise players get picked up, and then once you get about midway through the year, the waiver wire is pretty dry. So I think it's sometimes. It's a mixture of all things. You got to have a good draft, but you also need to make a couple moves. Typically, you don't just draft and then just keep the same exact team from top to bottom the entire time and make it to the finals.
Right.
And then if you want to win the league, honestly, you have to have your guys stay healthy. That's the main key, I think, because everyone has good players and there's a lot of injuries in football. So whoever's team stays the healthiest, a lot of times will at least make it pretty far.
Right. So a couple new changes to the rules this year, one of them being that kickers no longer get bonus points for the distance of their field goals. So all field goals, just 3 points. I realize kickers really aren't a huge part of fantasy football, but they are a part of this league. You ended up with Ryan Succop in the very last pick for your team. Did this rule change have any really big impact on how you prepared? I mean, I realize that it's kind of silly asking about how a kicker would change your draft pick, but did that happen for you?
Not really. I mean, for the most part, when it comes to taking a kicker, they can kind of screw you over a lot with obviously those missed kicks. So the fact that we made the kicks, so they don't subtract points from now on if you miss one. So, I don't know. I mean, it's not like I spend a whole lot of time figuring out like which kickers kick the most 50 yarders. And at the same time, when they do kick a 50, it's a much bigger chance they miss it. So I think it's a fine rule change. I would like to continue to keep the kickers just because they are part of football.
Right.
But at the same time, I understand people not wanting them in there. So I wouldn't say it changed my draft strategy, but when it comes to me like picking up kickers or dropping kickers,
it's pretty much just for bye weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah. I don't really care much about it.
So you had the number 7 pick. You went with Alvin Kamara. He's the guy who took you from winless out of the cellar right into the playoffs. You take him in the first round, followed up with A.J. Green and then Tyreek Hill. What would it mean for you to have those guys take you to the championship and then winning the league title?
I mean, it'd be great. I mean, we're all competitive here. We've been doing fantasy football for a long time. And I've come close a few times, just have not been able to win a league. I've yet to actually win any fantasy leagues that our group has been in. I've won plenty of other ones with other people and other groups of friends. But in this one, it's always really hard to win because everyone tries really hard for the most part. So it would be great. I feel good about my team for the most part. I went heavy on some rookie running backs, and I'm hoping at least one of them works out. And then I just have some weird guys that I just thought, you know, I want different players than I had last year. I only have 2 of the same players that I had. And I feel like my depth is a little bit better at running back this time. That was what really hurt me for a lot of the last year. Because even though Kamara was great, he didn't really come into the scene till week 6-ish.
Right.
So I dug myself such a hole that I'm just kind of hoping to have a good start this year and then kind of coast on into the playoffs. So I'm excited.
All right. Well, thank you very much and good luck this year.
Thank you, Rick.
Football is my life.
We are now with Constipation Bracket Survivor, 11th place finisher, stand-up comedy avoider, Scott. His team name this year is Michael Doerr. And, you know, we're taking a look at the draft board here in front of us. What is more important to overcome some of the flaws you see in your team? Is it going to be working the waiver wire or is it going to be making a lot of trades?
Well, first of all, not too many flaws in my team, I'd say. I will say wheeling and dealing is probably going to be the name of my game. I'm not a big waiver wire guy to start with. I loaded up on receivers. I know there's a lot of receivers out there, but I took 2 tight ends. They're both number 1 on their team. I feel like I could flip those for a running back a little bit weekend. Devontae Freeman, Marshawn Lynch, not the guys you want to have. Particularly, unless you're me, I guess. But I could definitely wheel and deal some wide receivers that have high ceilings. Doxson, Richardson, for maybe a better RB2 behind Freeman.
This year was our 2nd live draft here in Truckee, Tahoe. How did you think that experience went?
I thought it went pretty well. Picked up the pace a little bit.
Yeah.
I was thinking that San Diego was also a live draft, but that we were on the computers in that one.
That's true.
Which doesn't take as much time, but almost as much time. I was way more organized this year. I started my fantasy prep 30 minutes before instead of 15 minutes before. So I had an Excel spreadsheet and everything. So Excel spread sheep.
There you go.
I felt more prepared about this one. It's tough because guys get taken, then you kind of have to work with your own rankings rather than having an auto pick fed to you.
That's true. Right. They're number one. That's true.
So good overall.
Good. Yeah. So you got DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Freeman, Stephon Diggs, your first three picks. You haven't won the league yet. What would winning the league mean for you? Can those guys take you to victory?
Looking at it now, I'd say it's a big NO. But like I said previously, maybe I can flip some people. Get a couple more RBs that I like more than my RBs right now. had a few power raids this afternoon, so sorry if I slur my words. Winning the league would mean to me, it would just give me a full heart, you know, because it mean I'd beat Jordan, and I'd beat Luke, and I'd beat out you.
That's true.
I would beat out Tim and Fronik. And Duncan. And who else is in the league?
Pip, go ahead. Rattle off all the names. Andrew,
I was so close a couple years ago. And I felt kind of bad because I had some guys I should have started on that Christmas Eve matchup. I'm sure it's frustrating for everyone to see that. I wouldn't have won anyway, so I don't feel that bad about it. But a little bit of redemption for that, especially after last season when I thought I had such a good team, and then just taint.
Here's to hoping you avoid being stuck in the bottom of the constipation bracket and facing stand-up. So good luck this year.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Pop, did you hear the big news?
Yes, Elroy. The Dodgers finally won a game.
We're here with our co-commissioner of the league. It is Pip. His team name is Brett Favre-Cue. Wanted to start off with just looking over your team and just how things have gone in the past. What is more important for you to overcome flaws that you've found in your team? Is it working the waiver wire, or is it wheeling and dealing and making a lot of trades with people, which you do a lot of both?
Well, personally, I think that I've had the most success in the past wheeling and dealing in the trade market. I like to work the waiver wire, but I think I've had the most success wheeling and dealing. That's where I play more week by week rather than over the full season and get guys that can help me win immediately. So for me, making trades, making smart trades, and trying to get the most value out of everybody that I can get, and maybe selling high on some guys, I think that's what's more important for my flaws, which are usually quite prevalent early in the season. A lot of flaws usually, most of the time because of my draft picks between rounds maybe 6 and 12,
right,
is where I usually go wrong. So, definitely wheeling and dealing is most important for me.
Yeah, speaking of those 6 through 12 rounds, which everybody, the draft really came to a halt right about that point. Like I said, you had the 5 pick, you got Antonio Brown in the first round. Is there anybody else on your team that you think that you're not too excited about having to pick, or maybe you reached on him or you missed out on a player?
Well, I mean, I was excited to draft Josh Gordon. I didn't know that he hadn't reported to training camp and has basically been MIA. So that one kind of scares me a little bit now, but I know that he has such a big upside, and that's kind of why I drafted a lot of wide receivers after him. I'm a little worried about Devontae Parker. I know he's going to be the number one in Miami, you would hope, or I would hope, but you just never know. He hasn't lived up to expectations any season in his career yet. And I think I would say maybe Nick Chubb is the player I'm least excited about. I think I wanted to draft a running back, and he was the guy that I wanted at that point. I mean, Cleveland's got like 3 running backs now.
Yeah,
but I think Chubb was the most potential out of those guys. I had Carlos Hyde last year. I just don't really know what Cleveland's going to do with them. So, I mean, if you draft a rookie as high as they did, a rookie running back as high as they did, then I think you would expect them to use him. But also, Carlos Hyde was really good last year.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good signing. So, I don't know. That's the guy that makes me the most skeptical. So, I mean, I hope that he maybe takes over that starter role. But, again, Cleveland's probably going to be losing in a lot of games. So,
that's true.
Hopefully Josh Gordon reports to camp.
Banking on the Browns is always a really good strategy.
Well, you know, I mean, I have a lot of connections to Ohio now, so
that is true.
I kind of have to commit to it.
All of the one connection.
Yeah.
You've gotten close in the past. You always try really hard to make the playoffs and win the league and just kind of get yourself in. You have not won the league before. What would winning the league mean to you?
It would mean everything. I think within our friend group, I mean, it's a huge bragging rights. And it's the fantasy league we take the most seriously. And I don't know, I'm usually just happy enough to make the playoffs because I usually struggle to do that. I'm a bit like Everton. I'm the Everton of the fantasy football teams. So I think I got a good squad this year. I think that I got Russell Wilson, who should be a top five quarterback. I got Antonio Brown, who should be top three receiver. I got a top three tight end in Kelsey. Hopefully the Jags defense and McCaffrey kind of carry me. I think that I've got a good core guys there that I can rely on, and winning the league would be everything. So I nothing would make me happier than winning. Well, not everything, but nothing within our friend group would make me happier than winning this fantasy league and just being able to talk shit to all you guys all season, because that's really what I thrive. Yeah.
You get 9 months of being able, well, longer than that. You get a full year of being able to hold that over.
Yeah, it's like being able to talk shit to Jordan all the time about the Mariners, mm-hmm. but now I can add that to being able to talk shit to all of you guys about winning the fantasy league.
Right.
So it would be just awesome. And I really hope that I can do it this year.
Well, best of luck to you, Pip. Thank you.
And boom goes the dynamite.
All right, and now your co-commissioner, Pip, is taking over for the interview duties as I interview the other co-commissioner. The Rictator. Rick Nodgers here to discuss his draft for Le'Veon Belt. Rick, so you came out here as, how'd you do last year?
Third place.
You finished third place last year, you came in here feeling confident, and my first question is, do you hate kickers?
I absolutely do not hate kickers. I wanted to keep kickers in the league. I wanted to keep the scoring the same. I think kickers are a vital part of football. I think they should have stayed the way they were. But I would rather have the scoring that we have now, which field goals are all 3 points, as opposed to getting more points for longer kicks, than have no kickers at all. So no, I don't like I don't hate kickers. I love them. I got Justin Tucker. He is a really great opera singer on top of being a kicker.
He is. And, he's got a lot of talent there.
That's really what you want for out of a kicker, is a good leg and a good singing voice.
Right, right. I completely agree with that. I also am a big kicker fan and wish we had kept with the other scoring. Just so there's some sort of...
just a little something extra.
A little benefit, you know, for hitting a 55-yarder over a 23-yarder.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so... how prepared were you for this draft? What was your preparation process?
Well, I started my mock draft prep later than I did last year. I think it was because I was less excited to have the number 10 pick. Generally, when I rig the draft order, I give myself a top, you know, 6-7 pick, because that's where I want to be in the draft, is right up there. So I know I'm getting a really good player. Like, if I had your spot at 5 and I had Antonio Brown and, you know, the guys that you were able to get, I'd be feeling great. But at the 10 spot... it was a question if I'd be able to draft my son, Julio Jones, which luckily I was able to do. Almost got Odell Beckham Jr. But every mock draft I did, I had a different strategy. I ended up with different players. I had a draft where I got Julio, Keenan Allen, and Stephon Diggs were my first 3 picks, and I realized that was never going to happen, just with the guys that were around me and picking. So everything was completely random. I definitely thought that I would end up with better running backs than the ones I've got, which banking on rookie running backs kind of worked out with me with Fournette last year, and I've got, I think, 3 of them this year. So that probably means I'm going to end up doing stand-up comedy.
Well, I think you'd be good at stand-up comedy.
I hope so.
So
I'd probably pee my pants.
Well, we look forward to it. So,
thanks.
So even though you've just conceded losing the league and finishing last...
I did.
Alternate universe.
Right.
What would winning the league mean to you?
Would mean a lot. I feel like I've always been in all of our leagues that we do as a group. I'm always a guy that's, you know, in the playoffs, close to the playoffs.
Except for the times when you're not.
Except for the times when I'm not.
But I feel like I'm a good fantasy player, and I do a good job, and I would like to see that rewarded with a championship, as opposed to just the fluke of baseball the one year where I somehow beat Luke in a two-week playoff, but that's baseball. It would mean a lot. Like everybody's mentioned, bragging rights, the trophy, the beer you owe that gets shipped around, that would all mean, it would mean a lot to hang up in my apartment and to see that every day for a good year. That would be everything.
What would Bree think of that?
She would not like it. She would have me put it probably in a place where she couldn't see it, but it would be in a place where I would see it, and that's what's important, is that I would see it every day. Even if it was in the bathroom and I had to look at it while I was going poo-poo, it would be a poo-poo where I look at that trophy and I think, I earned that. And then I'd get up and I'd flush and I'd be done.
Well, Rick, I hope one day you'll be able to put the trophy up in your shitter, because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And I'd love to come visit and see it right there next to your sharks.
Yeah, I would send snaps of me taking poo-poos in front of my championship yellow every single day.
That is going to do it for episode 1 of season 3 of the Semi-Products podcast. Really hope you enjoyed listening to everyone in the league talk about their draft and talking about everybody else's draft. Hopefully you can continue listening in this season, follow the league, get some fantasy tips and advice, and be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio 95 Through the Score for some future updates, maybe a big announcement coming soon. Stay tuned. Thanks, everybody.